Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And you've Nick Herbig playing like a bat out of hell. Is that Meatloaf who said that?
Yeah, he sang Bat Out of Hell.
He's dead.
Yeah, he's dead, Pony.
You know, he was obsessed with fantasy sports. He was in like hundreds of fantasy baseball leagues.
How often did he win?
I don't know. Let's get him on the phone. Oh, wait, he's dead.
Dead.
Yeah, we can't ask him that, Chris.
I heard he felt like if he won 2 out of 3, it wasn't bad.
Anyways, so if Herbig's playing his butt off. And here we go again. Let's see if we get coach speak. Very straightforward question. Actually, it wasn't a question. I think Jim Wessel just said, hey, Herbig's playing so well. You got to keep playing the guy. And here is what Terrell Austin had to say in response to that.
He's earned the right to be on the field as much as we can get him on the field. And so, you know, as we get going in this season, long season, he's going to play a lot of snaps for us and play a lot of football. And it's my job to find ways to get him on there, keep him on the field with what he's done. Because he does. He's a splash player. He's always around the ball. He makes it miserable for offensive tackles. He's playing well. And so guys that play well get rewarded by playing more.
That answer makes me feel like they are ready for a job share. So some changing of the guard there.
A little bit of Jaylen Warren finally forces his way in and breaks the Najee Harris one back stranglehold kind of bit.
Yeah. I like that analogy. Sure.
It certainly seems that way because I think they know, whether it's Tomlin or Austin, both men know that being able to get after the quarterback consistently, even if you're not always bringing him down, if you're just disrupting a play with pressure, is massively
now,
important.
I think like the little loophole there is when it's obvious pass situations or late in the game in the Browns trail, they'll probably have some looks where three guys are out there, Herbig, Highsmith, and Watt. But obviously it can't be that way at the beginning of the game because the Browns want to come out and run the ball. Tomlin
right.
made Judkins out to be a superstar running
Walter
back.
Payton.
Yeah. The thing that people wonder about with Herbig is, can he play the run? Listen to what Austin had to say about Herbig in that respect. Oh, my goodness. Everything's falling apart back in
Pony, you're
today,
lucky
Donnie.
That it didn't happen a week
Oh, can you imagine ago. If this happened while you were on the ones and twos? You'd have been like, boys, here's what Terrell Austin
Actually,
said,
no,
and then you'd have done a voice.
If it was last week when I had to pay off my bet and produce, that would have made
your life
you guys
easy.
Would have been pissed and probably like argued about whether or not I should have to come back and produce again. Because
but it would have made your job easy. You'd have just but waited for the technical
I would have just sat there and been like, oh, I don't know what to tell you guys.
Oh, computer's broke.
Alrighty, which one do we need again?
Let's hear Austin talking about Herbig as a run defender. Can he play the run?
When you watch him, though, he can set the edge. He's a powerful, explosive young man. You know, as he's a couple years in the NFL, he understands it a little better. But in terms of leverage and beating those guys, sometimes you beat him to the punch in terms of setting edges and doing things like that. And he does a really good job. So he's improved in that area. When we drafted him, we all thought that he'd be a designated pass rusher. But he's developed into a guy that can play the run and be effective in the run game.
I think Austin is speaking for Tomlin. I think Tomlin loves the guy.
Okay,
I think he's changed their minds.
Can I make a compare and contrast statement, though? Compare how they clearly thought about Herbig, an undersized player, being able to play the run, right?
They didn't think he could, is what he said there.
Versus how Tomlin talked about Freiermuth not really being able to block 300-pound defensive ends or whatever.
Yeah.
Weight classes for a reason.
Right.
Not saying that about Nick Herbig, you'll
That's
notice.
That's a good point. Actually, somebody should have tried to flip that on Austin there.
Mike said that, you know, there are weight classes, and that's why
So how does Herbig match up against an offensive lineman that outweighs him by 100 pounds when they want to run the ball? Moral of the story there, bottom line, is it sounds like Herbig's going to play a lot.
They're bullish on him. He's opened eyes even more.
And Highsmith's just not getting his job back. Let's get to another guy. This is like a positive. This is a show that Mulsey hates. We have a lot of positive things here.
Oh, now that's unfair. Don't besmirch me.
Here is Austin on what he's seen from Derek Harmon so far as a Steelers starter.
He's been very helpful because you're talking about a young, talented guy who's only getting better by the week, you know, as he learns this game, because the NFL is a little bit different than college and all those things. But he's really been good for us in terms of being able to get pressure, being able to hold up in the run game, you know, athletically. He's really good with his hands, all the different things, all the things you need from a good defensive lineman. He has all the traits. And now he's just a matter of him continuing to get better. And as he gets better, we'll continue to get better.
I would agree with a lot of that. I think he has stepped in. He has proven to be the exception to Tomlin's rule, where a guy got on that moving train that he talks about so much, and he's actually fit right in. He's been plug and play, and he's made the Steelers a better defense. Derek Harmon was a huge boon for them, getting him back. I'm looking at the guys that got drafted after him because Abuka went two picks before Harmon. If you could have Abuka over Harmon right now, would you make that swap? Why even thinking about this? It's an automatic yes for me.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's a yes.
Donnie, for you too?
I think Abuka is going to be a stud. Already is, kind of.
Never mind. Hampton, yes, you don't want another running back.
Well, also, Hampton just got hurt, so he's already dinged up.
I liked Golden more than Harmon at the time, but right now I would say Harmon. The Texas receiver.
Yep.
How about Jackson Dart or Harmon? Remember, Starkey's not here.
I'd still take Harmon. I'm hardly sold on Jackson Dart. In fact, I called my shot that the Saints were going to beat them.
Yes. But, I mean, okay, so because he lost to the Saints.
I don't think he's a slam dunk, is going to be an upper-tier NFL starter. And I don't even know if he'll be an average NFL starter.
All right, so then you have to like
Mulsey! Yes,
Harmon. I am more team Harmon than Dart right now, but I was not high on Dart. I said Dart could be the next Josh Rosen early in the summer, but after watching him in the preseason, I started to change my mind because I broke my own rule and I started paying attention to preseason football again. Let's get
a rule that you've literally never adhered to since the day you said you were going to stop putting stock in it. You have never stopped.
I made it a point of emphasis. You know how they do that with NFL rules and they stop?
Yeah, and then you know how they stop. Yeah, exactly. When the regular season happens, right, all those points of emphasis disappear.
Keanu Benton sucked, and we were talking about him getting benched for not only Harmon when he came back, but just having Black play nose tackle and going with the big guys and making Benton a bench warmer because he was just that bad to start the season. The Steelers were that awful against the run. He perked up against the Vikings. What was Terrell Austin, and by that I mean Mike Tomlin's reaction to that?
We've always seen he's had that ability to really be disruptive inside. But the thing that he did was he really finished his plays and did it this week. And I know that's one of the things I actually mentioned to him in the meeting. I said, hey, man, start stacking those. Because if he stacks, he stacks some interior play like that, that makes us really, really difficult to defend.
I agree with that, too. He feels like a bonus player to me right now. You know, like if you've got a good baseball lineup, to make an analogy, or, you know, I'll actually go with the Penguins tonight because they're playing, to make a cross-sport analogy. If you've got a guy on, like, your third or fourth line who can chip in some scoring, like Matt Cullen could play the whole sheet of ice, and if he could chip in, like, 10 to 15 goals a year, you're like, wow. Like, that's a cherry on top.
That was always Zach Aston Reese for me.
Somebody like that, like, that's not his primary job, but if he could give you that.
It's like, found money.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm not saying, like, that my expectations for Benton now are completely rock bottom. But if he actually starts to pick it up and
looks like
an NFL player.
If he looks like early Keanu Benton, that is a massive bonus for
right.
him. Because he's not just a do-the-position Aaron Smith style. He's a disruptor when he's
because
right.
Right now I look at him as the Steelers' weakest link on defense.
But if he's coming off
– Among their starters.
If their weakest link looks like that, suddenly it becomes fearsome.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, for sure. I also don't look at him as like a – there are guys who start struggling like he did. They don't make that leap, and you start to wonder how much do they love football. Is there any, like, I don't mean this like in this super negative way, but like a little malcontent or whatever. Does he care enough? I've never gotten the vibe that Benton doesn't care. I've gotten the vibe that he's like as frustrated by his struggles as anybody was.
Well, I hear the same things about him that I hear about Broderick Jones, that both guys' techniques are just not good enough. Their technique is bad. Like
the weird thing about Benton specifically,
the basics
though,
of football that they're supposed to do as linemen, they're not good
that
at.
That should be some, I mean, I look back to coaching at least to some degree.
Sure.
With Benton, though, you know why that's surprising? Great wrestler. And
oh,
we've seen so many good wrestlers who played football and wrestled have good technique because they know how to use their hands, they're good on their feet, all
I think,
that.
I think if John Mitchell coached Keanu Benton, he'd be a much better player. And I think if Munchak coached Broderick Jones, he'd be a much better player. Here is Austin, a.k.a. Tomlin, on defensive breakdowns. Now, we saw a horrible one near the end of the game against Minnesota, but why were they, by and large, better at defending the pass and not beating themselves, not kicking their own ass against Minnesota?
It's big when you have a guy who's been here. And Deshaun will tell you his first few weeks here last year, he wasn't as comfortable in terms of the communication. But as the season went on, he's gotten really good with it. And he's really good with it now. And that helps everybody. I think when you have somebody back there that's been in the fires in this environment with us, feel a lot more confident in terms of communicating and executing that communication. There's no second guessing anything like that. And so it was good to have him back and glad he's on the field because I think he's really impactful for us.
So he gives Elliott the credit. Now, that was to Clark's side, that play that Addison hit that Peyton Wilson needed to make that great hustle play on. So the last kind of glimpse of the Steelers' defense, not great as far as limiting those broken plays, but he thinks Elliott's the guy that's like
the glue.
Fix-all for that.
The glue guy.
Yeah. They better not do this thing because it's the Browns and it's Thornhill's old team.
Oh,
it better
God.
Not be one of those Tomlin situations where it's like, let's have Thornhill out there more because we know he's going to be so amped up for this game. And that we
the
can
first
the
shot play of
ball.
Dylan Gabriel's career will be a play-action pass targeting Juan Thornhill.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, there's not a lot for me to complain about with the Steelers right now.
I think the vibes, I mean, I
that's why we started with the Friday.
Well, coming out of the Vikings game, I'll say this. Coming out of the Vikings game, you know how fired up I was about Mike Tomlin, and it ended up helping us make a viral TikTok meme out of the show, like a clip of me bitching and moaning about Tomlin, apparently.
Really?
Yeah. Like, it was one of those deals where it was like, I grew up on country. And then the kid would post, I grew up on rap. And then they would post, I grew up on my dad listening to these two guys argue about sports. And it was just our opening salvo post-Vikings game. So apparently that's like a thing. But no,
how close
I mean,
was TikTok to actually getting shut down?
I don't even know what's happening. No, Alex uses it every day. She's on there. She does the mindless scroll. My wife is a very smart, very productive member of society who does the mindless TikTok scroll.
Should we
scroll.
Be on TikTok?
As a show?
No, like
individually?
As individuals, yeah.
I mean, I have an account. I just never do anything. The only video I've ever shared on there is this heavier set American guy making fake Jason Statham characters in movies. I'm a zookeeper. I'm a postman. And he does the Statham accent, and it's just like Jason Statham is me, like I'm a janitor. And that's his whole thing. Oi, I'll take the job. And that's it. It's a very stupid video of a guy doing impersonations, and that's the only thing I've ever shared on TikTok.
Dulac just tweeted out information about what's going to happen at quarterback for the Browns, which is an interesting thing for a Steelers insider to delve into.
Okay.
He writes about Bailey Zappe, who beat the Steelers a couple years ago on Thursday Night Football with the Patriots. Bill Belichick's last gasp before he turned into old horny guy. Who cares more about conjugal visits on the sideline than he does winning football games? He said here of Zappe, a player cannot be elevated from the practice squad to give a team an emergency third quarterback.
The team can sign a player from its practice squad to give a team an emergency third quarterback.
So what's that? The second sentence confuses me.
Does it contradict the first?
That's what it sounds like to me, but I thought the whole point of the tweet was if they bring up Bailey Zappe, he has to be the backup quarterback. Is that not how you infer or read into the first one?
Yes.
This is really a tweet about Shedeur Sanders. Correct. What this is. And how Shedeur Sanders is probably, like all the other insiders have told us, is likely to be the Browns'
third
quarterback again for this game on Sunday.
Twitter says, discover more, sourced from across X. Jerry Dulac, 23 hours ago, another satisfied chat participant. Quote, Jerry, it is obvious you strongly dislike these chats. Your short, snarky comments are a slap in the face to us fans. It is a chat, not a question and reply. Do better. Man, that's kind of...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Ray, you were at practice today. Would you agree with the following statement? Calvin Austin and Jalen Ramsey are going to miss Sunday's game against the Browns.
I would agree with that, yes. I know Mike was, he put on that he was optimistic early in the week, but I think those two are the longest of long shots.
So does that mean we get Roman Wilson, a big dose, a big heaping scoop of Roman Wilson on Sunday against Cleveland?
No, I know everyone's waiting for that, and I think Roman will see a little bit more playing time. You know, I haven't looked at his snap counts lately, but he's probably around like 10, 12 per game. I think you might see him up around 15, 18, or 20, but I think you're also going to see a healthy dose of Scotty Miller and, of course, Ben Skowronek, especially if the Steelers want to continue to run the ball. And, you know, let's look at the Vikings game. I mean, they had great success with that jumbo package. You know, Skowronek was in on a bunch of those plays. So, I think Ben's going to be involved as well. So I think you'll see all three of those guys chip in Sunday against the Browns.
Ray, what do you think the Steelers' posture is going to be offensively? Because the Vikings, we actually all knew, were somewhat susceptible, if they were susceptible to anything, to just running it right at them and keeping those exotic pass defenses out of play. The Browns are the number one rush defense team in the entire league. They're number two in total defense. Do you think Mike Tomlin and Arthur Smith are going to want to kind of test the Tiger here a little bit?
You know, they are another 4-3 team. And, you know, Mike talked on Tuesday about how he approaches that with his bigger personnel packages. But, you know, I think the Browns are a little bit better than the Vikings. I think they're more well-rounded. I don't know that they have that big weakness in the middle of their defense the way the Vikings did. You know, this trade, it's interesting. You know, do the Steelers midweek, do they sort of pivot and say, okay, they just got rid of one of their top corners. They're bringing somebody else in who doesn't know the defense. You know, do they want to go after that? So, you know, it'll be interesting to see which way it goes. But I think just overall, guys, I think the Browns are really good defensively. If you look at the way they've played this year, a couple games have gotten away from them late. But they're really – they've been in pretty much every game, and I don't expect Sunday to be any different.
Ray, I want to go back to Roman Wilson, though, because you're saying we're going to see more Skowronek, we're going to see more Scotty Miller. Scotty Miller's a journeyman, okay? I know Aaron Rodgers liked him because he made that big play with Tom Brady. We're talking about a third-round pick in his second year. So, you know, Mike can say all he wants, okay, he's not in the doghouse, we still like Roman Wilson. If he can't beat out those guys in a game like this, especially when you're saying it might be in the best interest of the Steelers to put more wide receivers out there and spread out a very thin, weak Brown secondary. Well, then, if he's not going to play in a game like this, when is he going to play? Why can't Roman Wilson break through and actually get an opportunity like, I don't know, where you drafted him to be, which is play in situations like this now?
Well, what receivers coach Zach Azani said during the bye week was it's going to happen organically. And maybe what that means is, and I don't want to, you know, speak for Zach or for Arthur Smith, but, you know, maybe that's another injury, or maybe that's just a game where, you know, he's a really good matchup for the other team. So I don't think they're going to force feed Roman Wilson just because he was a third round pick. I mean, they're in the business of winning football games. And if you look at that Vikings game, they had no issue sitting two guys who were making like $20 million this year for two guys who are on rookie contracts and aren't making $1 million or $2 million between them. So they're going to do whatever it takes to win football games. I'm not like totally down on Roman just because he's not doing it in the first five games of the season. I do think eventually he'll get it going a little bit, but I don't necessarily think that's absolutely going to take place on Sunday against the Browns. And I really wouldn't be worried if it didn't. I think it's just all part of the growing process for him.
Ray, speaking of one of those two guys who's making a lot of money, who's barely played in the last game, or who barely played in the last game, less than he's ever played as a Steeler, what do you make of this continuing situation with Pat Freiermuth? I mean, he's making a lot of money to do virtually nothing. Tomlin's talking about weight classes against 4-3 defenses, and yet when Terrell Austin talks about the undersized Nick Herbig, he talks about how they've opened his eyes, he's opened their eyes as a run defender. So clearly,
yeah,
if Pat had shown them more as a blocker and everything else, Mike wouldn't be making weight class excuses.
Yeah, it really is, you know, a bit puzzling for, I'm sure it is for Pat. And then you look at it just from the way this team was built. He's one of their more important offensive players. I mean, he's the second highest played player on that offense. So I don't think it's great for Pat in terms of his long-term outlook with the Steelers. You know, it's unfortunate for him. He really had his most success when Ben Roethlisberger was here. And then, like, with all these quarterback changes, all these offensive coordinator and coaching changes, he's never been able to get back to that level. And I mean, this is a guy that had 7 touchdowns as a rookie. I think all of them in the red zone. He was a very productive and good player for them. And I don't want to say he's fallen out of favor with Arthur Smith, but Arthur has a very specific way of doing things week to week with his game planning. And for whatever reason right now, Pat seems to be on the outs a little bit. But listen, Arthur said this week it's not going to be that way every single week, but it could be again this week with the Browns and that big front that they present.
I mean, an $11 million tight end should not be a situational player, bottom line to me. Should not be dependent on if it's a 3-4 or 4-3 defense. Ray, when you said it's not good for his long-term future with the Steelers, talking about Freiermuth, what did you mean by that?
Yeah, I just, you know, he signed that 4-year, $52 million contract last summer, and I just wonder if he's going to be, like you said, a part-time player. I just wonder what that means for his long-term future with the club. You know, assuming Art, and I think Art's going to be here, as long as Arthur wants to be the OC, I think, you know, he's going to play out this contract, and it's a 3-year contract. So I just wonder out loud about that. You know, I don't think he's a candidate to get dealt here within the next month or so, but stranger things have happened, I suppose. I just think, you know, Pat needs to get on track a little bit. He needs to get his confidence going. Maybe one big game will do that, but, It's been slow to come in the first 5 weeks of the season, that's for sure.
It's just strange that you know that they love running the ball. Tomlin does, Smith does. They clearly loved what they saw from the extra offensive lineman and Darnell Washington heavy package. Like, why give Pat the extension knowing that that was still what you wanted your personality to be? Why bring in Jonnu Smith in a trade and send money his way? Like, what they seem to want doesn't, at like the coaching and actual on the ground level, doesn't seem at all to match some of the decisions they've made with personnel, Ray.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with that. You know, Pat was not Omar's pick, but he was certainly, Pat was extended by Omar. So, I mean, even through the transition there with the personnel department, they believed in Pat from the Colbert transition to Omar's team. And, you know, I should point out there's a lot of different people within that personnel department now, a lot of different opinions, and obviously they thought Pat was worth it. So, you know, sometimes this happens with OCs. They come in, they have a way of constructing an offense. They have their types of guys that they like. I mean, they haven't been shy. Omar has not said no to Arthur Smith, to my knowledge. I mean, Arthur wanted Cordell Patterson. You know, he wanted Van Jefferson. He wanted all these guys he's brought in.
Jonnu Smith.
You know, Jonnu Smith again. Yeah, most definitely Jonnu Smith. And, I mean, strangely, he hasn't really used him yet either, but he hasn't been shy about doing that. And I think sometimes when you – I'm not going to say they've catered to Arthur, but they've been pretty open in giving him what he wants. And I think sometimes just OCs have a way they do things, and sometimes some guys just don't fit into the plans.
Ray, Malzi and Donnie both are of the opinion that Kenneth Gainwell should play more than Jaylen Warren on Sunday and reward the hot hand. But it sounds like everyone who's been around the team and has covered practice the last 2 days that they think that Jaylen Warren will go back to being the starter and that Kenneth Gainwell will obviously play, but he'll be more in the third down change of pace role again. Do you agree with that? And, well, number one, do you think that that's true, that that's what's going to happen? And do you think that that's the right call by the Steelers?
Yeah, I think it's the right call. And, I think that's just, you know, just watching the way things have unfolded here since that injury. I mean, the knee is something to keep an eye on. Apparently it's something that's, you know, has been bothering him. He just needed a week or two to get over it. But, yeah, if Jaylen Warren is healthy, I think they really like him to be RB1. And listen, he's had some success against the Browns within the last couple of years. He had that long touchdown run last season, or was that
That's
two
right.
seasons ago? Two seasons ago, I think.
Yep.
Had that long touchdown run, and you know, I think he's a really good running back. I think Kenneth Gainwell is a really good running back. I just think, unfortunately, right now Caleb Johnson is the odd man out because they feel such a comfort level with those two guys.
Ray, what is your prediction for Steelers-Browns on Sunday?
I cannot see a way the Steelers lose to the Browns, but I do think it's going to be close. They're always close with the Steelers. I'm going to go Steelers 19, Browns 17.
Ray Fittipaldo, Steelers insider from the Post-Gazette. Thank you, Ray.
All right, thanks.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Guys, see
you. Time for Total Request Thursday. You picked the topic. You had four choices on X. 13.5% said, you have a hilarious Brown stat. We love to poke fun at the Browns. We're like Nelson from The Simpsons, pointing and laughing at the Browns. The Browns are Milhouse, or that weird kid with the slick back hair used to get punched in the stomach by Nelson. 13.5% said, give us the hilarious Brown stat. 14.3% said, wait a minute. The Penguins pitched a shutout in the opener, and now the guy who was watching, Tristan Jarry, is starting the home opener? WTF.
They want to bring him into the arena unhappy tonight.
14.3% wanted to talk about that. 17.2% said, Pitt quarterback savior, the new kid, a potential messiah. The answer to the Pitt blues, the prayers of Pitt fans have finally been answered with this young, true freshman who lit up Boston College. Tell us more about him. Talk more about him. 17.2%, but by far, 55% of you out there want us to talk about Steelers trade report. 55% a month out from the NFL trade deadline. And that would be a report from me. Source. The Steelers reached out to the Saints during the bye week to take their temperature on wide receiver Rashid Shaheed, who will be a free agent at the end of the year. Big play wide receiver and return man. I wrote that part. Trades are being made in the NFL left and right. Also true. All right. Where do we come down on this one? Now, this guy's getting traded 100%. He doesn't have a contract for next year. The Saints, good for them. Plucky. Spencer Rattler's been better than I think they could have hoped. I think the plan there was let Spencer Rattler poop his pants for a month and then put Tyler Shuck in at quarterback. Donnie's favorite, the 31-year-old rookie quarterback who played at about 19 different colleges and became a hot
commodity. His
freshman
year, Cook was covering him as a rookie on the beat.
His freshman year, Donnie was in diapers.
No, Spence has been capable, if not exceptional.
And Olave's obviously the guy that's gotten all the headlines.
Shaheed's got good numbers, though, for like a
Shaheed is
number two wide
a
receiver.
Speed merchant, yeah. Man. And one of the things Arthur Smith brought up today was we might not throw the deep ball because of the way defenses play us, but if we have guys who run deeper routes, he made a basketball analogy. He said it clears out the paint. People go with those guys, dump it off to the running back, let Jaylen Warren or Kenneth Gainwell make a move. Interesting, he said running backs and not tight ends. Pat Freiermuth not really playing right now. I would look at this guy as an upgrade over the Mike Williams trade last year.
Yes.
I mean, Mike Williams is a better resume.
But Shaheed's a better player.
And I think right now Shaheed's a better player, right. So if this were the move they were to make for this year's team, I would like this trade more than I would Mike Williams.
He's a contrast to Metcalf in terms of kind of Metcalf can run and does run a lot of underneath stuff. Yeah, you get a top off the defense kind of guy.
Yeah, and I think like just from the conversation I was having, he's going to get traded. I don't think they're in a rush to do it because there's a month.
What's the required return is always the question people have. Like later round pick?
I didn't get that answer, but this is me just spitballing now because that's the whole point of having a sports talk radio show.
Oh, we love to spitball.
I bet the Saints would do it now for a third. I think if you wait and they know they have to trade him.
Fourth or fifth.
I think a fourth would get it done.
The worry about.
I think maybe you could do a fifth, but I don't think you'd get him for a fifth because I think another team might be able to.
The worry about waiting for it to happen, though, is if he puts up like electrifying numbers and he's just having a crazy season. Rightfully speaking, or rightfully so, they could probably get more for him. So you do always run the risk of, like, let's say his next two games are just like his last one where he had a buck 14 and a touchdown. And suddenly, Shaheed is a much hotter commodity. You're in a bidding war with other teams, and that automatically drives the price up. But, as a just player profile here, I'm a fan of it.
He's one of these out-of-nowhere guys. He did not
get Weber State.
Did
you know who's the other famous Weber State alum? Petey Sessoms.
How about
that was Harold the Show Arsenal. I got him confused. Yeah. Petey Sessoms was Old Dominion.
Old Dominion. They beat Villanova in the tournament.
Weber State beat North Carolina with Harold the Show Arsenal.
Uh-huh. Before Donnie's time.
Oh, those are the glory days, weren't they, Pony? You had to rely on Gumbel throwing you back to another game at the studio.
Poor Gumbel.
Kids today do not know what it was like to be stuck with some half-assed game in the NCAA tournament, praying you'd see Greg Gumbel pop up on your screen to send you out west.
I mean, this guy would also, even though I don't think he's done it as much, he would also help you on special teams immensely. He's a former All-Pro as a return man.
Yeah, that's a good call. I didn't even think about that, but he has a reputation there.
That's a double dip right there. You make your wide receiver room better. You've really gotten nothing from the return game so far this year. I was going to say ideally you don't want your number two wide receiver to be a return man, but they're using their starting running backs as return men right now.
Which is a bad decision.
Also, like, the way I look at the kickoff return game now, it's back in. It's an important enough play. I do think you should put your better players back there.
Wasn't Vrabel studying the Panthers' kickoffs for, like, hours on end?
I didn't hear that. That's true?
Yeah, they have. I forget what they call it. They're like mess kickoff, where they intentionally kick the ball as knuckling as possible. Yeah.
He also said he'd cut off his own penis to win a Super Bowl as a coach, even though he's won a bunch as a player.
What did you say earlier today? You'd cut off your penis if it happened?
I didn't say anything about that on the air.
Off the air you did, though.
I didn't know that we're bringing off the air stuff on the air now.
I don't think it was something like, I didn't think it was something awkward. I think it was something like funny.
Oh.
It was something.
Well, I just didn't know that we were now going to take off air stuff and bring it on air.
Well, consider it unbroad.
I mean, I don't do that to you guys. So.
I just don't even remember what we were talking about, genuinely.
I told Seth that the Cowboys won the Super Bowl this year. I'd cut off my wiener.
Yeah. See, I thought it was something goofy like that.
Why is Seth laughing about that? It's a horrible thought.
Didn't Starkey,
we don't have to worry about it because it's never going to happen.
Didn't Starkey predict them as like an under 500 team likeliest to get to the Super Bowl?
On the air, he said that?
I think he was playing that game
with
Donnie.
Or you're bringing more off-air stuff?
No, I think he was playing that game with Donnie. Under 500 right now to make the Super Bowl. And I think he might have taken the Cowboys.
Was that on one of those like jaunts to the back with Donnie and then like Austin has to come sprinting out to get Joe to corral him
God,
back
there's
in
nothing.
The studio?
There's not. Oh, okay. So it was with
Joe.
Donnie, you pick two teams that are 500 or worse to go to the Super Bowl.
Joe, you were supposed to be on the air 2 minutes ago.
I love it when Austin just pops his head around the corner and goes, "Joe, we're on the air right now." he's saying, "Like we should be on the air now."
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.